Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be a nice concept. Never being thirsty again. I would imagine that just with what Myrna did with the children's sermon, those bottles of water, and the talk of thirst, has made some of you wish that you might have a bottle of water right now. And Pastor Sherry's more than welcome to share. So it's curious, isn't it? Jesus gives us this living water so you'll never thirst again. But we're thirsty. So there seems to be a bit of a disconnect here. Because if we got the living water, and the living water is the water that keeps us from being thirsty, then why would we be thirsty? Then if we're thirsty, then we don't have the living water. Water is vital. You know, the first thing that I was told when I moved here was, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. You got to drink, you got to drink. You got to have water, got to have water. Always have water, have water. Waste water, no. Drink water, yes. And so then when I have friends that move here, I say, you got to have water, drink water, lots of water. Don't waste water, drink water, yes, lots of water. Because that's what we tell people there, because you have to have that water. Because we lose it so quickly in the desert that it can really cause us problems. But we take water for granted, even here. I can guarantee that there is not a single one of you, unless you've gone through some major plumbing problem, that when you woke up this morning and you went to take a shower, went to brush your teeth, went to wash your face, when you turned that faucet on, you didn't go, I wonder if anything's going to come out. Did you? It is our built-in assumption. We turn that knob, the water is going to come out. We pull that lever, the water is going to come out. That we have this vast supply of water that will never end. It is a first world assumption. I learned something this week, by the way. You know, first world, third world. Then I began to wonder, well, what exactly is the second world? And then I realized, and I could get Phil Pounds probably to explain this to us all, that this was actually part of the Cold War, that the countries that were aligned with the United States and Western Europe were considered the First World, Russia, the communist countries, Eastern Bloc, Second World, all the non-affiliate countries were the Third World. Most of the non-affiliate countries, though, were the poor countries. Why were they the poor countries? Well, the first world leaders and the second world leaders didn't really think they would give much to their side, so they didn't care. And so they were the third world. So, running water is not a first world problem, is it? Unless you live in Flint. Then it might be an issue. You wouldn't think it's a second world problem either unless you lived in Sarajevo in the 90s. There, water cost over 5,000 people their lives. There was a siege in Sarajevo, in case you don't remember, back from 1992 to 1996, where all of the public services were cut off by the Serbian army. And so there were three main well locations in Sarajevo. And you had to trot down there with your buckets to get your water. There was a catch. And the Serbians knew where the wells were. And they had snipers in all the high places outside the city and some within the city. And if you're carrying 5 or 10 gallons of water in each hand, it's kind of hard to run. And so the people literally took their lives in their hands just to get water. Not the way it's supposed to be. But it's the way it is. We use lots of things for weapons. In this case, water was one of them. In Syria today, apparently the government forces blew up the water systems in one of the cities to be able to starve out and dry out the residents there. So Jesus is sitting at the well. And he strikes up a conversation with a woman. Not supposed to do that. You see, rabbis don't talk to women. Strike one. He strikes up a conversation with a woman who happens to be a Samaritan. You never, ever, ever talk to a Samaritan. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? That story is in the Bible as a lesson that Jesus was trying to hold out about the fact that goodness, that God blesses people, can come in all forms and fashions, even with your enemies. And that's what the Samaritans were considered by the Jews. Enemies. And so he's sitting and he's talking to this woman, and she's having a conversation with him about water. And then he begins to share with her the fact of who he is and what he can do. And suddenly within that conversation, she begins to see and understand Jesus for who he is. As the Messiah. As God's gift. And suddenly now we have this woman, Samaritan evangelist, running around. Telling her family, telling her friends, telling everybody who listen, hey, you got to come see this guy. Look what I found. Because she understood what others didn't. Because she was able to share with others what Jesus had first shared with her. You see, the sense of living water what Jesus was talking about, I don't necessarily believe is this thing that's going to keep us from physically being thirsty, but I see this living water as a gift of God in terms of Jesus sharing his love with the world around him, especially with somebody he's not supposed to love. Think about our lives. Think about the society in which we live, and think about the list of people that you are not supposed to love. Because we have lots of people telling us that we're only supposed to be loving the people who look and act and talk like us. Those other people, those evil, wretched Samaritans, stay away from them. Part of the life lesson in today's gospel lesson has to do with the fact that Jesus was talking to the person he wasn't supposed to be talking to. And he wasn't just having a conversation. He was giving of himself to this Samaritan woman, to this woman, this wretched refuse of the world that no good Jew would even happen to glance at, let alone have a conversation with. And yet Jesus was sharing his essence, his love, his compassion. And he was bringing her into the fold with his gift of life. When we go through the gospel lessons, what we find time and time again is Jesus there with a stick, bopping us over the head, challenging us, trying to stir things up a little bit to be able to get us away from those common paradigms and understandings that we seem so engulfed with and so trapped in. This fact that we have to be this homogeneous community that only sticks together with the people that we know and the people we love. That God's word and God's gift is only for folks like us. And yet the reality is that Jesus points out time and time and time again to his disciples and anybody else who listen, that we're not supposed to be quite nearly that smug. That this gift of life, this gift of love, this gift of living water isn't just for us, but for everyone. And we're not supposed to be picking and choosing who it is that we share this gift with. So some of you may be saying, well, you're absolutely making no sense because I don't even know what the gift is that I'm supposed to be sharing. But quite often, I don't make any sense. But you see, what we're supposed to be sharing is that gift of life and love that Jesus first shares with us. Sharing that gift of love with people we encounter each and every day. Sharing that gift of love with people who look like us, act like us, and talk like us, and people who don't even know what English is. Sharing that gift of love throughout the world each and every moment that we have the opportunity to touch another person's life. God has blessed us to be blessings to others. God has loved us to give us the gift to love others. God has given us the things that we need to share them with the world around us. And to especially share them with the people who aren't us. The people who don't understand what we understand. The people who have not been given the opportunities that we've been given. The folks who don't have any understanding at all about what living water might be. Whether it be this congregation or the person of Jesus Christ. Because in the end, when Jesus shared that word and that life and that love with that woman, in that community, she became his number one evangelist. She became his press secretary there in that place, sharing what she had learned, sharing what Jesus had given her, sharing the blessing that she had received. In the end, the gift of living water isn't about whether we thirst or not from a physical standpoint, but it is about having the ability to share whatever God has blessed us with the world around us. And not to be picky. Not to be picking and choosing. But simply loving and sharing. With everybody. Especially the Samaritans in our world. And the Samaritans of our lives. Because if you think about it, they might be the ones who need it the most. Our gift of love that God has blessed us with. Live it, love it, share it. God's gift of love. Amen.